probably ought to approve him as assistant road coach, because I couldn't find it anywhere in minutes. So I would recommend those appointments to the board.
Any discussions on those?
I move that we approve them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have policy actions. New policy GCFC, GDFC, nepotism.
Okay, this is a new policy. It's not a new law, but we haven't had a written policy on it, and that has been intentional. Not that we are against the law, but we've always cited the law and say that we followed the law. But there have been some changes, and now the state board rule requires that be in policy. And basically what that is a nepotism policy. It's a new policy. The law this year, and the reason for the attention to it, is that it now... There were several changes to the law. It added grandfather, grandmother, grandson, and granddaughter to the nepotism law, and it took stepchild and stepson and stepdaughter out of the nepotism law. Other than that, there's not a lot of change in the law. But now we have it in policy GCFC/GDFC. Let me just go through all of them, and then if you have any questions, you know, you can approve them all at once or rather than take them one at a time. Posting of political signs on district property. Most of these are in response to new laws in this past legislative session. Says you have to have a policy with regard to whether you're going to allow political signs on district property or not allow. If you allow, you have to allow all candidates or considerations for referendums or other things, not referendums, but help me, Neil, you're a politician.
Sorry, sleeping.
Okay.
I found it so fascinating.
Yeah, I know. It is to me, too. You know, when you have a petition of some kind on
the ballot.
On the ballot.
Yeah, referendum or a...
Anyway,
initiative.
You have to allow all. Now, this policy here, we have never really allowed political signs on school district property. So the policy follows that and basically says that we won't allow any... If I looked at the policy, I could tell you that term. We won't allow any property owned or leased by the school district for the posting of signs that are in support or either supports, endorses, or against any candidate for political office or defeat of a proposition on the political ballot.
Okay, I have a question about that. Huntington Elementary is usually the spot for the Republican convention, nominating convention.
That doesn't affect where they can hold those and that. And
but, I mean, when you go there, then the whole parking lot is filled with signs and different things. I mean, it's just for one night.
During that, that's true.
I just wondered if that would be excluded, if they couldn't do that.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to posting. You know, if they post it somewhere where it's going to be there, that might be different. I don't know.
It's also not endorsement of any single candidate or proposition, so maybe that's a different
thing.
Yeah,
that's true.
We can add something into this policy, too. We could table it and add something in that, because I think the law does address or does say something about the holding of those meetings, and you can make an exception on those nights that those meetings are held, but
it might be well to put that in. That's a good point.
Okay, and I appreciate that, Patsy. There is something on there on that particular night. It's just you got to be careful. You know, someone may want to schedule a billing to have to announce their candidacy and start putting up signs. If it is a mass meeting or a party Why don't we table that policy for now and we'll come back with an amendment to it? We'll deal with that right here at the end too. Let's see, school board meetings. This is a new law this year that says that you cannot hold school board meetings outside of the geographic, physical geographic boundaries of the school district at which decisions or votes are taken. You can have site visits as a board. It can be a meeting, but you cannot vote or take formal action at such meeting. Any meeting of the board where there's going to be action taken or a vote taken has to be held within the geographic boundary of the school district. So that's...
I wonder what the purpose of that law was.
Well, I think you had some school boards holding meetings at the USBA convention. They would find a room and hold one of their meetings while they were there. There were others who would take retreats.
Hawaii?
And then...
Well, I was thinking that.
While they're on a retreat, they may have had a formal board meeting as one of the regular board meetings.
Yeah.
So it was an attempt to prevent that from happening.
Well, that makes sense.
They can still have those, but they can't take a vote of any formal action.
I know there was a problem with one of the meetings at Canyon School District.
That's where it stemmed from, Canyon, so...
Yeah, they probably were deciding on a controversial issue, but they did it so far away that no one attended, and there was a lot of public outcry.
So that's the change in it.
Okay. Did we go through all of them?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get the right order here.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you also to table the graduation requirements and credit policy change. This is because the graduation requirement is changing. I'll explain it real quickly. It's changing in that social studies now will require a full 3 credits, excluding financial literacy. They're pulling financial literacy out of social studies as a standalone class, but then still requiring 3 credits of social studies. So it's actually increased by a half a credit in the graduation requirements.
Wow.
It also requires our graduates to be able to pass a civics test before they can get a diploma. They can take that starting, I actually think it's as early as 7th grade, but they can take it as many times as they need to pass it, but they have to pass it by the time they graduate to get a diploma.
How difficult is that test?
There are 100 questions on the U.S. citizenship exam. And we pull 50 questions out of there, and there's no funding for this. This is going to be a local issue. John's already got it online developed. It hasn't been released yet, but he sent me a sample, and I took the test, and what did I score, John?
100%.
Yes.
100%.
Oh, wow.
Shall I send one copy?
You're smarter than a 7th grader.
It really would be fun to see. Yeah. I think
Can I publish your scores?
No.
Oh,
yeah, because only if you accept bribes.
Okay.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a piece of cake for some of our students.
Would 7th graders be able to answer the questions?
I'm just saying that they can start then and take it 20 times a year until they're seniors.
It would be interesting to have their parents take it.
You would. If it's a middle school situation, they can even start 6th grade, take it 6. I would say they'd have a struggle a little bit with
it. This is a Howard Stevenson bill.
Yeah.
Actually, it's where it started. Aaron Osmond had a little to do with it too, but they must pass the citizenship. That's the 2 major changes, but the reason I'm asking you to table it and to bring it back after I put it on there on the agenda and then sent you a copy, there is also, I came across Senate Bill 196, which requires us somehow to clarify. I need to clarify a requirement in Senate Bill 196, which requires us to identify and report students in our graduation policies as either, quote, college ready, quote, non-degree seeking, or quote a student on an IEP. I don't think that's on the diploma, but we have to, in our graduation policy, somehow identify levels based on AP test scores, AccuPlacer, CLEP tests, ACT math test. It's for higher education purposes. They want, I think what the intent is that it will somehow appear on the transcript so that colleges can look at it to determine where these students are placed as they enter college in the core areas, particularly math. Math has been higher ed's biggest problem with students coming in, that many students have to take lower level math courses in order to be successful, they claim at the college level. So I need to clarify that before we pass the graduation requirement policy, because it has to be somewhere in that policy. So I'll ask you to table that one, but it'll be coming back to you. School Community Councils, KCBC. This is a policy in the new law this year. The new law requires that school community councils add some responsibilities. It's just one little paragraph on page 3. School community council shall also plan and provide for awareness of safe technology use and digital citizenship that helps students make smart media and online choices, and assist parents to know how to discuss safe technology with their students. And the council shall also work with the school administration to ensure that filtering systems are in place for devices used by students and personnel. Now, the filtering systems are something that's already provided by the school district. And so school community councils will simply have to become familiar with that and know that that's taking place. But they will need to develop a plan for helping parents at their school know how to talk to their students or their children about safe technology use of any device that connects to online systems. So that becomes a new requirement in the school community council. It also requires the school community council to annually review the school's statewide achievement test results, reading achievement plans, class size reduction needs, technology needs, and professional development plan when they're writing their school land trust plans. They all pretty much do that now.
Yeah.
But this solidifies it in state law that it's a requirement now that they review those as they write as those plans are developed. So that's the changes in the law on that one. The policy on it says notification record. I hate to read all these letters, but it's JLDBA-E3/JLDBAA-E1. In new law this year, this particular part of the policy is an exhibit. And it's the form that is sent to parents if there is an incident of a suicide threat that they deal with, or a bullying or cyberbullying incident. It's a form that's filled out indicating that parents have been notified. It's put on file. The new law requires that upon graduation, a student may request a copy of that or may request that it be expunged from the record upon graduation, so that it's not in their permanent record until it's destroyed. That's the only change in that, is that they can request a record when they graduate or request that it be removed from the record. Pre-employment screening, GCFE/GDFD. This requires us, with all licensed employees, all licensed educators, to make a contact with a previous employer to check a reference. It doesn't apply to classified employees, but licensed employees. Apparently there's a problem in the state, at least somewhere at least once or twice or a dozen times when someone hires a licensed employee and then find out later they have a criminal record that occurred after a background check sometime. So it will require us when we hire licensed educators to at least make an attempt or to contact a previous employer before hiring them.
And so if you have a felony on your record, are you non-hireable in a...
Not necessarily. What it requires is if you've had a background check and you have something come up on the background check, basically the law says that offense, whatever it is, has to be reviewed by the superintendent. And a determination has to be made as to whether it's job-related or not.
Okay.
In other words, if it's a DUI and it's within the last 10 years, you're not going to hire them to drive a school bus or to have access to a district vehicle. What they're looking for is job-related means drug and alcohol-related offense, child abuse, a crime of violence against a person, or it could include property too, but against a person.
Sexual predator.
Yeah, that was in the abuse. Seemed like there was one other area. But there's three or four areas that you have to look at to determine whether it's job-related.
Okay.
We have had people who have applied to jobs that the background check came back with things, and we've had to notify them that we can't hire them. But it isn't necessarily whether it's a felony or not, but
it's
basically you have to determine whether it's job-related.
Okay.
Okay. And then staff hiring, I think, is also has to do with what it's called, checking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same reference.
Yeah.
It's checking. The school district shall obtain references and a discipline record from previous prior employees of an individual before hiring the individual to work as an educator or in a school if the individual would have significant unsupervised access to students. So it's a child protection policy. So I'm recommending approval of those policies with the exception of tabling the posting of political signs on district property and the graduation requirements.
Okay. Any other questions on those?
I'd make a motion that we approve them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the ninth grade physical education class request, Canyon View Junior High. Mr. Jones.
Thank you very
Principal
much.
Jones.
Try not to take too much of your time.
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, as you're well aware of, there's some concerns and issues with ninth grade students at both junior high schools. And so this is just kind of one aspect of this, you know, this issue. With the policy that was created last year, having our ninth graders go to Emory High School to participate in athletics, we've gone through that year now, and we've kind of identified a few of the issues associated with that. One of the issues is the fact that Canyon View, we do not get out of school until 3:20. Emory High School, I believe, gets out of school at 3 o'clock. Correct me if I'm wrong, Neil.
That's right.
Most of the activities, most of the practices at Emory High are probably going to start somewhere between 3:10 to 3:20 as soon as school's over. We do not get out of school till 3:20. Our kids then will get on a bus, an activity bus that is greatly appreciated. By the time they get to Emory High, by the time they get dressed and ready to go out and participate in whatever activity or sporting program that they're involved in, they're going to be 20 minutes to a half hour late to practice, if not longer. And so, you know, we've heard from our faculty, our staff at the junior high, parents and students as well, that that's one of the issues that's kind of kept the numbers down a little bit with kids going from Canyon View to the high school to participate. So we have a proposal.
Can I interrupt you just a second?
You
because
bet.
I sent them your other proposal, which was a PE class. So
right.
This is a different proposal than that. I just want them to make sure they're clear. That
okay, and thank you very much.
And personally, I like this concept better.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so do I. It makes more sense.
I'm getting there. I'm sorry I didn't mention that at the beginning. But basically what we would like to do is allow our ninth graders that are participating at Emory High School to leave school at 3 o'clock. Originally, we talked about creating an athletic weights class where the kids that are participating in Emory High would sign up for the PE class at the junior high, and then the athletic program or activity that they're involved in at the high school would be an extension of their physical education class. So it would kind of be a combination of the two as far as giving credit to the student, getting kind of non-core physical education credit. I talked to the superintendent a little bit about that. I asked to be put on the school board agenda. Since that time, I've done a little bit more thinking about it, talked to some faculty members, and we kind of like the idea of moving our learning strategies class. And right now, that class period is second period, moving it to the end of the day at 3 o'clock. That way, if this proposal is approved, then kids will not be missing any type of regular classes. They will be missing a learning strategies class. So we like that idea better. The proposal itself, kind of in the middle of the page, move our learning strategies class to 8th period, increase the time from 15 to 20 minutes. Our learning strategies class is used for reading instruction on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we use the learning strategies class for writing instruction and writing activities. Number two, students participating at Emory High would then leave Canyon View Junior High at 3 p.m., the same time that students are leaving Sandersville Junior High. So I'm hoping that that doesn't cause an issue with the other junior high because students will be leaving at approximately the same time. I've talked to Roger Swenson. He does not, this isn't going to require any additional transportation, just an adjustment in the driver's schedule. He is on board with this. He's fine with this. I've talked to Mr. Davis, talked to Mr. Meekum. Again, our faculty and staff at Canyon View Junior High, they're behind this. They support this idea as well. So basically, I guess what I'm requesting is that our students be allowed to leave 20 minutes early from their regular class time, those that are participating at Emory High.
Just those that are participating.
Just those
okay.
kids. And if you play volleyball in the fall, then during that sports season, you would leave early. If that's the only sport you play at Emory High, then you'd be in your learning strategies class the rest
the other
of
the time.
And so, like I said, we've identified a few different issues of having the ninth graders participate in Emory High. This is one of them. We feel like this accommodates these kids a little bit because I really don't think it's fair for them to basically miss 30 minutes to have a practice. And this would be for all sporting programs, activities, whatever they're involved in at Emory High School.
So what impact would that have on the students leaving early as far
well,
as their...
That's the original idea with the physical education class is that as you go to practice at Emory High, that would just be an extension of your PE class.
Right.
So, I do like that idea.
But it does take away one elective opportunity. That would be their elective. If they're going to participate
right.
in sports,
okay.
they would
That'll
have to
elective.
Have that PE class.
Okay.
But if you do put the PE class in, then it would take away from many of them another opportunity for an elective. And ninth graders right now are very limited on what they can take. So it might have an impact on your band and chorus and art and other classes that...
Well, it's scheduling as well. I mean, it's...
I understand the impact of learning strategies, and hopefully they will get some of that. But also Canyon View, I'd have to do some recalculating, but their times were adjusted at one point because of busing schedules. And so it's not a matter of not getting their 990 hours in with this concept, because they're already going longer than the
right.
other schools.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, except that they have half days that are comp.
Yeah, we do. We still figure that out, and we're still quite a bit above
okay.
everybody else.
Okay. You know, I really think this is a terrific idea. I would like to watch really closely the reading and writing scores on the tests during
yeah.
the next little while,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's going to... Neil, did you have a comment?
If I might, just something that helps mitigate that missing the reading and writing is they will get 3 years of it at the high school. I mean, even if they're a three-sport person at the junior high,
yes.
they will have the same experiences at the high school. So by the time they graduate, they'll have had plenty of them. The other thing is I help coach golf, and golf has been a nightmare. Because we have had to figure out how to get high school kids
yeah.
out to the golf
sure.
course and then wait with another car
yeah.
for the Canyon View to arrive so we can take
yeah.
four or five Canyon
yeah.
View golfers. This would make it so much better for those kids.
Yeah.
And for many of them, it will be a one sport thing.
Possibly.
It will.
Yeah.
Or they'll
yeah.
be back. Or
yeah, there's a mixture. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
kids that are involved in one sport. I mean, there's some kids that are three sport. You know, they participate three sports.
Yeah, that's a great. That's.
And just you know, one other quick thing on the bottom of this page, I just kind of wanted to give you an update. The
mm-hmm.
CVAA is our little Castle Valley Athletic Association that our junior highs and the Carbon Middle Schools belong to. Kind of wish I could have got this to you before your school board meeting over in Orangeville
yep.
might help you a little bit.
We knew you were working on it.
But anyway, we've had several meetings, and we finally came up with some things that were agreed upon. Number one, we're going to create A and B teams. We're getting away from the concept of varsity and JV teams, trying to establish teams based on competitiveness, not necessarily grade school. For example, 7th and 8th grade students can play on either an A or a B team. Schools will declare before the season starts if they have two A teams, two B teams, or one of each. A larger school like Mont Harmon may have as many as three teams. Number two, league schedules will be created after schools declare how many A and B teams they are sponsoring. And in order to reduce travel, we might look at having like multiple A teams or multiple B teams meet at one site and play round robins. Because right now you have your varsity and JV teams traveling together, so if you have an A team going to Price and a B team going to San Rafael, that's going to require additional transportation. So to get around that, we might just have them, four A teams meet at Canyon View, play round robin, four, you know, B teams or whatever meet at Mont Harmon and play round robin. So we're kind of excited to see how this concept will work. And number three, and this is kind of the one that I think helps us a little bit, ninth grade students from the Emory District may play on an A team. If Canyon View Junior High or Santa Fe Junior High have more than three ninth graders participating, then we'll be required to sponsor two A teams. So we'll have to mix our ninth graders up. But
those would be the students who were not
mm-hmm.
involved at high
correct.
School.
Correct. Or if they just, for whatever reason, they don't want to participate at the high school and they want to stay at the junior high and participate,
mm-hmm.
then they have the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we like this concept. The Carbon schools have agreed to this, you know, as long as our ninth graders, I mean, we have to have what we call A teams and B teams. The A teams will be a little better than the B teams.
It'll give more people a chance
right.
to participate.
So if you understand that, if you have any questions
yeah.
on that.
I just want to commend Principal Jones
absolutely.
For his work on
yes.
this.
Yes.
It's,
work.
It
yeah.
is
it's
very creative. And
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, I know it wasn't easy convincing Carbon to do
well,
this. Carbon's concerned about our ninth graders playing against their 7th and 8th, that it becomes non-competitive. But this concept evens the field out a little bit. And they're willing to give it a try and see how it works. So.
Yeah, the only thing that we need to wait on is that, and Carbon's doing something that's quite unique too. They are, in their middle schools, they are actually working with Carbon County Recreation. They are actually, you'll still have teams from Mont Harmon and Helper, but those kids will sign up at Carbon County Rec, which there's things about that I like, there's things about that I don't like. They're actually, they won't have any eligibility requirements, citizenship requirements, academic requirements, those kind of things. And they'll sign up with Carbon County Rec, and then they'll be placed on these A and B teams. And so they're waiting for their school board to approve that. I think it's either in June or July meeting, but then everything should be a go.
Thank you for
your
work.
Thank you.
This is great. So one little question. We hear CanUView, does this not apply to Santa Fe?
Santa Fe would be involved in all of it, but Santa Fe already leaves at 3 o'clock on a bus. They don't have to wait.
The schedule doesn't, but the rest of this all does.
So this bottom part where
Santa Fe
is right in there with you playing on the A and B team, so, okay.
Yeah, it includes them.
And it works really well for Green River too, because, you know, Green River typically will have what would be considered B teams. Because they have 7th and 8th graders, and usually they don't have a lot of 8th graders, and so, and that's really why we've gone in this direction, because you have Pinnacle and you have Green River and even Helper. We had games this year that, like our varsity games in basketball, were like 80 to 10.
Yeah.
So now we're kind of trying to do this on competition.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yes.
That will solve a lot of problems in the junior high and make it a lot better for students.
So do we need a motion?
Yes,
on this?
I think it would be good.
I'd like to make that motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Request for FFA National Convention Travel. Justin Thornley.
No, we're going to table that also.
Okay.
We need a motion to table it. Justin, and he just, I admire him for this. I think that this is something the board we used to do all the time with these kids. We don't fund it for them other than the advisor, but they raise their own funds and go. And so I certainly want to recommend it. But he felt that he needed more information to give to you and a clearer schedule and agenda and itinerary, and
that's
he
nice.
Didn't have that yet from the national, so he asked that it be tabled for until the July meeting, and he'll come and talk with you about
I
it.
I move that we table it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Approval of bids for capital projects. HVAC, Cottonwood, Farron, Huntington Elementary Schools, tennis court resurface, Emory High, and roofing, Spartan Center and Cottonwood Elementary School.
I've included bids in the packets for these projects. And so these are also projects that we included on our list of capital needs for this year. And the HVAC, just in summary, would be adding heating and air conditioning capabilities for the gymnasiums at those two schools. I think anyone who sat through a long parent assembly knows that that's probably welcome at those schools. But the HVAC actually has two components. And the first is the larger, which is the installation and everything of the project, which we're recommending A. Johnson Heating for that. That's the bid for $134,916. And that's a combined bid for all three schools. The second component was just behind that, and it's a kind of a blank sheet with numbers on it. It's from Atkinson Controls. This is the system that we use for controls for all of our other systems that we've done the last few years. So it's essentially a sole source situation, because we've already got the system in to use controls, and so we want to use the same ones. But we have compared all of the pricing to what we received in previous years similar, so I feel comfortable recommending that. So those two bids would both apply to that HVAC project at the three schools. For the tennis court resurface at Emory High School, we've received three bids. Carrie explained to me that the same person would be doing the work, it's just different companies. I guess he contracts with different companies, I don't know. So no reason to not go with the lowest bid. So we want to recommend the Such Concrete Inc. With a bid of $20,000 to scrape off and remove loose debris, pressure wash the courts, and then do a resurfacing on those tennis courts.
Now, I've been to Benjamin, Utah, and I haven't seen one bit of concrete there.
You haven't been there in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's grown up.
All right.
Actually, my cousins used to live really close to Benjamin, so I know what you're saying.
A lot of grass, a lot of farmland.
All right, and then the third project is roofing at the Spartan Center in Cottonwood Elementary Schools. This would be a recoating of those roof areas. And we received four bids for this project. The low bid by far was from Advanced Roofing and Moisture for $36,375. It was enough under the others that Carrie and I both said we'd feel a little uncomfortable about this, except that we've worked with Advanced Roofing for the last 3 years and they've done a great job.
Okay.
So we feel comfortable because of that recommending that bid of $36,375.
Wondering why that was so much lower. It seemed really weird.
Yeah.
Every once in a while that happens, and it always makes you a little nervous.
It's the elder's quorum.
Yeah.
You know that? Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
I move that we approve all of those capital project bids.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we need to have the business administrator's report.
I don't have anything to report. I thought we could just let our new elementary supervisor give a report instead.
Yeah, thanks.
Just wanted to wake you up.
Tell us all the things you've done.
And welcome while we got the spotlight on you. Welcome. We're happy.
He's not quite sure yet after the first few meetings with us.
No turning back now.
Well, let's see. July 1st hasn't arrived yet.
Okay.
Actually,
well,
it's August 1st.
Convince
Joanna
staying.
July 1st.
That's your only other out. So, superintendent's report.
Just to follow up to our last meeting, we've had a few discussions on how to proceed with a study of the ninth grade, sixth grade issues. There's a couple of directions that we have talked about in here. One of them is to try to find a consultant who can come in and work with us and do kind of an independent study so that it removes it from us and from the board as far as recommendations. We haven't identified anybody yet, but we're still hoping to move in that direction and have something for the board to approve a concept. We feel like if we have an independent review and survey and someone who can look at all of the issues that would need to be studied, we can still involve our administrators, teachers, community, but have someone who has some expertise perhaps in those areas to look at teaching licensing and endorsements and what it would mean staffing-wise. Some recommendations on what we, particularly in relation to a middle school concept. That's something we're discussing now. We're also in the process of, early in the school year, taking a team to Uinta School District to sit down with their administration. They went through a two-year process that they will implement this fall of doing the same thing. And we're kind of interested in finding out what process they followed, what kind of information, how they gathered it, and we'll try and report back to you once we have that meeting and find out what a good timetable would be and what their experience has been as far as positive challenges. So that's a couple of thoughts that we've been working through here, just for your information. Other than that, I don't.
Well, thanks for responding to that. We appreciate that. That's something that we need to look at and gather all the information and decide if that's the best for our district. So thank you. Any public comments? Neil?
I just wanted to say
say thank you to the board. We don't do that enough. So I'm representing Kim today, and we just wanted to, from the teachers, to tell you thank you for your sacrifices. We appreciate it. We know this is not an easy position to hold, and we just want to, we feel like we have not expressed our gratitude to you enough, and so we'd like to do that today. Thank you.
Back at you. Thank you. We appreciate all that you do. And so, any items for closed meetings?
Wow.
Okay, then there's...
Well, we could find a bunch.
A motion that we adjourn. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for being here.